Now, there's a conversation that took place between a father and his son. And when this conversation was happening, the wife and the mother was over here. They couldn't see her, but she could hear them. And she was eavesdropping on their conversation. And she was kind of displeased about what she heard that her husband and her son, one of her two sons, were having. And so what she did was this. The wife and mother called her other son over, and they devised a plot in order to lie to the father in order to get what they wanted. And so that plot was put into action, and that son went over to the father and lied to him and deceived him and did get what he wanted. But then the other brother found out about it. He was outraged. He was angry to the point that he vowed to kill his brother when his father passed away. And his mother found out about it. And his mother called the one son over that she had plotted with, and she said, "Hey, you need to get out of here. Go away, but don't worry. When your brother calms down, when your brother cools down, I want you to come back." But little did she know that that would be the last time that she would ever see her son. That story that I just told you is a true story. And it's a story that happened about 3,000 years ago. And it's a story of a mom and dad by the name of Isaac and Rebekah and their two children, Esau and Jacob. You see, our God is a God of truth. And truth is something that breeds unity. But the Bible also says that the counter to God is Satan, the devil. And the Bible says that Satan, the devil, is the father of all lies. And just as truth breeds unity, lies breed division, separation, and disunity. And we see that in that story from the Bible from 3,000 years ago of that family. And because of that, I want to encourage you today, especially the parents that are here today, I want to encourage you to maintain unity within your family through some principles that we can gain from the Word of God here today. And I have some parents from principles. And the very first principle I have is this, and it's on the screen. And it says, speak the truth within your family. Speak the truth within your family. Hey, nothing will damage a relationship, especially within the family. Nothing will hurt when you are lied to by a family member. The people that are closest to you. The people that you're supposed to be able to trust the most. My encouragement to you, families, is make a pact to always be truthful with each other. If you look at your Bible this morning, I'm going to be looking at a passage from Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible gives us some great principles, not just for parents, but for everyone. And in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 25, is where I'm going to be. In Ephesians 4, 25, the Bible says this. It says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let every man speak truthfully with his neighbor." And you might say, "Hey, Pastor Rich, that's talking about neighbors. Hey, your closest neighbors really are the ones that are in your house, the members of your family." So you put in your family and you put in your family talks the element of truthfulness. You never allow Satan to get away into your family through deception and lies and deceit. You build on the truth, and you do that by speaking the truth within your family. But not only are we to speak the truth, but the second principle I have for parents is this. It says, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. If you look with me at verse 15, same chapter in the Bible, but this time, verse number 15, the Bible says, "But speaking the truth in love." Speaking the truth in love. Hey, some people, they claim to be truthful, when the truth of the matter is they're being brutal. You can be cruel with the truth. You can be cruel with your words. You know, we're not only to speak the truth, but we're to speak the truth in love. And by the way, let me just throw this in. Husbands, hey, sometimes there's some things that might be true, but they're better left unsaid. Husbands, if your wife is starting to get gray hair, it's not a good idea to tell her that she's starting to look like your mom. You might just get slapped. And I'm not speaking from personal experience, but a good verse in the Bible really to coincide with this is from Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. And the Bible says this. It says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Our families must be built on truth, the truth within our relationships. And we've got to also make sure that we're bringing truth into our homes. That's absolutely vital if a family is going to be what it ought to be and going to have the kind of communication that it ought to have. So first of all, again, speak the truth within your family. And second of all, speak the truth to your family. And by the truth, I mean the Word of God, the Bible, the truth. And what a great pattern we have to follow that's been laid out for us in Scripture, especially in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me pull up these words on the screen for you to see from Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says this, it says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be in your heart. And you shall, he's talking to the parents here, he says, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. So that tells us that we are supposed to be communicating the things of the Lord, the things from the Bible, throughout the day with our children, instilling in our children the Word of God. There should be a time when we sit down with our families and we open up the Bible and we share truth with those in our homes. And you might say, Pastor Rich, I don't know how to do a devotion. Hey, if you know how to read, you can read the Bible, amen? Even if it's a few verses and you take a few minutes and you talk about it, you've allowed God's word to come into your house, to come into your home, to come into your presence. And that's what we want. Not only allowing the truth of God's word to come into our homes, but also taking the time to pray together as a family and seek God as a family. So I summed all this up this way. I said, we must talk about the Lord to our families. And we must talk to the Lord about our families, reading the Bible and praying together. For instance, moms and dads, your sons and your daughters, they head out to school every single day of the week. If you have little ones like we had today, that's still going to be coming in their future. And they're going into a culture that may be hostile to the things you and I believe. They might be hostile to the Bible. They might be hostile to church. They might be hostile to the things of God. How can we imagine sending them out into the world until we first have filled them with the truth of God? And we've prayed for them. We've got to put truth into our families, the truth of God's word. We must bring the truth of God's word into our homes. 1 hour of church a week, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord that you're here. But we need more of God's truth in us. If you're not in a small group, get into a small group. Get that extra dose of God's truth in your family. Come back out on Wednesday night. But most importantly, enable God's truth to be taught within your home. We must pray. We must pray also and thank God for his power, for his presence with us as we live in this world. There are so many levels of communication in a family. Not only should we make sure that the element of truthfulness exists within our family, because remember, it's the truth that'll breed unity, but it's the lies that'll breed division. But also, if you look at me at Ephesians 4:29, there's a negative side of communication. In Ephesians 5:29, the Bible says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth." That's the negative part of communication. But praise the Lord, the rest of that verse gives us the positive form of communication. It says, "But only that which is good for the building up, that it may minister or give grace to the listeners, to the hearers." That means that not only are we to put truthfulness into our family conversations, but we must also be sure to include the element of encouragement. That which is good to the use of building up, to the use of edifying. So that's my third principle. And the third principle is this: show encouragement to your family. Encourage your family, encourage your kids, encourage your spouse, encourage one another. Hey, they're going to receive enough discouragement outside of your home, whether it's at school, whether it's at work. So your home should be a place of a sanctuary, a place of rest, a place of enjoyment, a place of encouragement. There's going to be times in which things are not always going to be peachy king. There's going to be times when we must deal with issues that arise within our families. And we've got to learn how to deal with those issues properly. Problems will arise. They're inevitable. But when they do, they have to be dealt with. And when problems are addressed within our families, we've got to make sure that we keep a few things in mind. Number one is this: attack the problem and not the person. Let me say that again. Attack the problem and not the person. Do you know what donkeys do when they're threatened? Donkeys will form a circle and they'll face the enemy. And then donkeys begin to kick, but they begin to kick each other. It's like the weirdest thing. But I got news for you. You're not only smarter than a fifth grader, but you're smarter than a donkey. Now, as compared to what donkeys do, this is what horses do when they feel threatened. Horses, man, they put their heads together, similar to those donkeys. But instead of kicking each other, guess who they kick? They kick the enemy. When problems arise in our families, we've got to make sure that we don't kick each other. You get the point? We're not like the donkeys, but we're like the horses. We're kicking the enemy. The enemy comes to seek, kill, and destroy. And that includes those in your household. And we've got to recognize that and realize that your spouse, your kids, your parents are not the enemy. They're your loved ones. They're the ones that God has given to you. So learn to attack the problem and not the person. And then one more principle for you, for parents, and that's this: fix the problem and not the blame. What I mean by that is this, is don't always be looking for someone else to blame for the problem. And what I mean by that is this: hey, ladies, if you start noticing that you're having difficulties in your marriage, don't just blame him, because it takes two. Blame him and his mother. That's what my wife does. So, I mean, I'm just kidding.
She watches online.
And my mom does watch online. Yes. Sorry, Mom. But the point of the matter is this. That's a little funny I threw in, but the point of the matter remains the same, is fix the problem rather than focusing on placing the blame. It's easy to place the blame. It's easy to pass the buck. Sometimes we do that instead of fixing the problem. Every member of your family is a valued member of your family, and they should be treated as such. Why? because every single member of your family is valued by God, and they're precious to God. God has given you your family, and every member deserves to be listened to. They deserve to be respected. They deserve to be heard. Listen to one another and focus on the problem and not on the person. Because if you focus on the person rather than the problem, it will create more problems. James chapter 1, verse number 19. It's a great verse for us all to do very well to heed. I have it on the screen for you. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Swift to hear means to be a good listener. We must learn to listen. When somebody in your family wants to tell you something, you listen. You look at them. And some of us, man, we pride ourselves on being able to do 6 or 7 different things at the same time. We could be clicking on the TV channels. We can be surfing the web. We can be balancing our books. We can be cutting our toenails and talking to our wife at the same time. We're really proud of ourselves. But there might be some times, which should be every time, that you need to turn the TV off. You need to put down the phone. And you need to look at one another. When someone else is talking, lean in and listen to them. Give affirmative words to let them know that you are listening. And those words shouldn't be, uh-huh. Share with one another. And rejoice with one another when something good happens. When something unpleasant has happened, pray with one another. It's okay to cry with one another. Gather around each other. Hug one another. And as I said, pray for each other. But there's going to be times that sometimes you have to do what I call put up the mirror. And when you put up the mirror, basically you're helping whoever is having an issue, help them to look to see themselves in the problem. And by your kind words, your kind responses that come out of your mouth as you're speaking the truth in love, you help them to see what's really going on. And a goal, remember, is to fix the problem. Fix the problem and not placing blame. All these things that we do are encouraging things from God's word that has encouraged parents in order for us to facilitate and maintain unity within our homes. And they're good principles too, amen? You know, we've got to make sure that we begin to read our Bible and pray together as a family. And then the last principle I have for you is this. Again, remember, attack the problem and not the person. But if there is a problem, when you bring it up, pray it up. Pray it up. And what I mean by that is this, is that when you bring up a problem within your family, bring God into the situation. Bring God into the matter. Take it to Him and leave it with Him. He knows all about it. He knows how to handle it. And in the midst of trying times in your family, always include the Lord in your trials. Always include God in your trials. Make it a habit. Make it a habit to always include God whenever a problem pops up in your family. It will be a habit that you will always be thankful that you formed. 3 principles for parents. Speak the truth within your family. Speak the truth to your family. And show encouragement to one another. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me at this time? And you might be here today and you say, "Pastor Rich, I'm here today. And, you know, within my family, I don't know if within myself I'm able to do the things that you've talked about today." But the good news is that you don't have to feel that you can do it. Because if you're saved, the Bible says that you have God's Holy Spirit that lives within you. It's not you, but it's Christ in you that can do it. It's Christ in you that can speak the truth within your family. It's Christ in you that can speak the truth to your family. It's Christ in you that can show continual encouragement to your family members. You have God's Holy Spirit and the presence of His Holy Spirit that lives within you. And praise God, you have all the help that you will ever need to do what you've been called to do. So I encourage you this morning to take it to God. One of the best things that we could ever do with our families is to learn to communicate with each other in a biblical way. And we need to learn to express our feelings and express our concerns in the right manner. We need to learn to communicate with our families about the Lord and about what God is doing in our life. But again, remember, we need to learn to listen to each other, respect one another, and most importantly, love one another in the right ways for the glory of God.